When you're a seminarian at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia, you can always easily relate to this passage of the gospel. Because on every Thursday during the school year, you're sent out in pairs of two to go out on your apostolate, to go out on your pastoral work, sent out to a parish, a soup kitchen, hospital, whatever it might be, to go learn how better in a practical way to be a priest. As our Lord goes and sends out the 72 disciples today. And in doing that, he goes and gives a number of practical principles for those who proclaim the kingdom. Let's take a look at some of them. He goes and he starts out and he goes and says that the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. The Lord describes a very serious situation. That there is an abundant harvest, but there are few willing to work at it. Consider the harvest in our own day. Look at the whole human race and think about how many do not yet know the Lord. That there's over 7.5 billion people on our planet. Only 1.2 billion are Catholics, many of them lukewarm. And about 1 billion others are Christians. That means that more than two-thirds of the people on this planet do not know and worship our Lord, do not worship our God. But here in the United States, 75% of Catholics don't go to Mass on a weekly basis. That there are many people today who shrug at this, presuming it's not some big deal, because nearly everyone will be saved anyways. Never mind that Jesus said quite the opposite, very explicitly, that many, if not most, are headed down the road to loss and damnation. That this myopic presumption and false optimism is unbiblical and, frankly, slothful. That the Second Vatican Council goes to say, but very often men deceived by the evil one have become vain in their reasoning and have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, serving the creature rather than the Creator. Wherefore, to promote the glory of God and procure the salvation of all these, and mindful of the command of the Lord, preach the gospel to every creature. The church fosters missions with care and attention. Note how the council began, that the council said, very often people are deceived by the evil one. Do we notice those words? Very often. That a great mass of humanity is not walking into heaven. Rather, they are deceived and have let themselves be deceived. That Jesus himself said, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but the people have loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Yes, the need is urgent, greatly urgent. That we need to be serious about this. That there are many, even among our own family and friends, who have left the practice of the faith and are somewhere on the continuum from indifference to outright hostility towards our holy faith. That we must work to restore them to the church, to the Lord. Otherwise, they are likely to be lost. The scripture also speaks of many who walk in futility of their thinking, that they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. There is work to do. And we must get serious about it. Sadly, too many have not. That the decline of the West has happened under our watch. That too many have thought that evangelization is the job of someone else. Welcome to what the silence of saints has produced. The note, too, that while this translation says, ask the master of the harvest, that the Greek is more emphatic, more personable. That the Greek word for asking actually means to beg as if to bind oneself. That in other words, we are so urgent in this request that we are willing to involve ourselves, our own person, in this work, in the solution to what is being asked for, to what is being begged for. That it's not just a problem for the Lord, for other people. It's so serious that I am willing to go myself. That I am willing to risk something of myself. We have to ask ourselves, do we feel this way about the evangelization of the world? The propagation of our faith? That it's time to get serious because many are being lost. The second point that the text goes on to say, go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. As a seminarian, you often felt that way, sometimes going into West Philly, Westchester, some of the slums of Philadelphia, that you were that lamb being sent out amongst the wolves as you're driving with the bars across windows, etc., and just everything happening there. That we must be cognizant that we're being sent into the world that is hostile to the faith. That we should not despair or be dismissive of this hostility. We must be sober and clear about it. That yes, there is an enemy. He is organized, influential, and powerful. Nevertheless, we are not counseled to fear, but to sobriety. That we must be aware, but unafraid. The scripture says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now it is already in the world. You are children of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. That's something I go and tell the parents of children about to be baptized in my baptism class. That they have nothing to worry about if they continue to raise their child in the faith. And that there's that minor exorcism that happens before baptism that I talk to them about. And then everybody gets a little panicky of like, oh, minor exorcism. Oh, no. I'm like, it's only a minor exorcism. And this should be the first and last your child ever receives. Because we have the sacraments. We have the very life of Christ being willing to be given to us each and every time we avail ourselves of the sacraments. That Christ has already won the victory for us. We simply have to reap the rewards of it in our own lives, in living out the faith. That yes, we must be sober without being afraid or discouraged. That there is an enemy, there is a conflict, but the victory is already ours. Third, the text goes on to go and say that whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the dust of your town that clings to our feet, and even that we shake off against you. Then note how the Lord counsels us to shake off the dust in face of rejection. That we ought not to take it personally. That we ought to remember that it is Jesus they are rejecting, not us. That further, we ought to be serene in the knowledge that just because someone is angry at us does not mean that we have done anything wrong. That yes, we are to be serene and secure in the truth of the gospel, in the truth of the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, not consumed with how people react. That we need not be strident or argumentative. We don't have to raise our voices. We don't need to be fearful or angry. All we need to do is to preach the truth with serenity, with that calm, with that joy of Christ, and leave the judgment up to God. And then finally, the text goes and says, carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. One of the things that keeps many of us from fully being able to preach the kingdom is that we're encumbered by so many things, so many activities. That the Lord asks us, tells us to travel light, for then we shall be unencumbered, available, and free. Too often today, spiritual truths are neglected and crowded out by worldly concerns. Parents will make sure that their kids get to that soccer game, get to that sports game, but often Sunday Mass is neglected. It's very sad as a priest to hear that child make that confession to me, that I didn't make Sunday Mass, And I'll ask them why, and they say, oh, well, there's a soccer game, and mommy and daddy didn't think it was important, but we go to church. How sad. That likewise, many of us can be at times too invested in this world. And as a result, we're not free to preach because we feel that we have too much to lose. That the Lord calls us to simplicity in three areas with this gospel. First, he goes and says, carry no money bag. Riches root us in this world, makes us slaves of its ways. Riches are bondage. Poverty, freedom from greed, is a kind of freedom. Because those who are poor have less to lose. That scripture goes and says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. That we need to cast aside, we have that detachment from the riches of this world. The second, the Lord says to carry no sack, no extra sandals. We're encouraged to resist the tendency to accumulate possessions. These things weigh us down, and on account of them, we are forever caught up in acquiring the latest fashions, the most recent upgrades, the most deluxe models. That we want the iPhone, ZQ, whatever now. Of that, it's on this stuff requires then insurance, maintenance. That too much of this stuff roots us in the world, distracts us from more essential things, distracts us from living that life in God. That scripture says it is better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. And finally, the text goes, Jesus goes and tells the disciples to greet no one along the way. That we have to admit that some folks in our lives, some people in our lives, do not help us in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk. That instead they hinder us, tempt us, or simply get us to focus on foolish and passing things. That in the gospel passage, the Lord has something for the 72 disciples to go do. And he wants them to get there and do it. The same is true for us. This is not a time to stop along the way and chat to every passerby. That we ought to be careful of the company we keep. Ponder if our friends and acquaintances help us or hinder us in our task of proclaiming the kingdom, of proclaiming the faith. That St. Paul went and warned the people, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral men. I wrote to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or robber, not even to drink with such a one. That thus the Lord counsels us to travel lightly and to simplify our lives. That we have many possessions that can weigh us down, make life difficult. That we need to look at the opulence of today and notice all the stress. That we need to simplify, travel light. That I saw 32 of our teenagers do that 2 weeks ago during work camp. That they set aside many of their possessions to go down to King George County, to set aside the busyness of their lives, to go do service for the poor of our own diocese there in King George County. That in doing that, they grew in their faith. They grew living out what Jesus tells the 72 disciples to do. They grew in that joy of the gospel, showing that joy to other people. And that we had one of the adult leaders from another parish comment to us, to me, to our other leaders, how joyful it was to have one of our teenagers there, of how he was that great example to the others, of living out the gospel, of having true charity to others, proclaiming that truth of Jesus Christ. A great compliment for us that we are doing our jobs as parents and raising our children. That this is what we need to be about in our lives, proclaiming the kingdom. That we need to get serious about this. We need to go out, be those missionaries of Christ. Be one of these 72 disciples. Let us get this work done. Let us cast out our nets. Let us reap the harvest, for it is there waiting to be reaped.